The following is a Christians for Messiah Ministries production. Our mandate is to teach God's Word, train God's people, and release God's favor. At the close of this teaching, please continue listening as we give you important information about Christians for Messiah Ministries. We now invite you to listen to a powerful message by Dr. Peter Wins. This message is entitled, Powerful Men with Holy Hands.
Would you open your Bibles with me to the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. The title of this message is Men with Holy Hands. Men with Holy Hands. And I'm speaking a word of encouragement to all of the men here today, those who are fathers, those who one day will be fathers, and those who are perhaps not fathers naturally, but you do a lot of caring for a lot of people and it makes you a spiritual father. I'm speaking to you. And for all the women who are here today, we invite you to listen in so that you can see how the man in your life is supposed to behave. And women, I know that there will be a lot of things that we'll give today that you will be able to use in your own lives. And so would you open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to read to you verse 8. This is what the Bible says. These are the words of Paul, and he says, I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or disputing. The word disputing there is better translated doubting. In the King James, it says, I wish that men everywhere would lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Let's pray. Lord, we echo the words of Paul today. We wish that men everywhere would lift up holy hands in prayer without anger and without doubting. Now, Lord, we ask for a special anointing of your Holy Spirit. We ask for an open window here for the anointing of the Lord to come as this word is preached. We pray that it would equip and strengthen and release life to us. We specially speak your blessings over every father here today. We release it upon them in Jesus' name. Amen. Last night I went to a hospital, a senior's home actually, to pray for Teresa Harper's mother, who is in her 80s and she's in a kind of a coma state. And she had a stroke 2 years ago and she's been failing. And I went to pray for her. And while we were in the room and we just started to pray, all of a sudden a man who I found out was almost 89 years of age was walking by down the hall in a kind of one of these walkers that they have, you know. They push the walker and then they catch up. Then they push the walker and then they catch up. And all of a sudden, Teresa said, oh, I want you to meet Mr. Beasley. So she invited him in and I found out that he was a preacher and that he's the chaplain of the seniors' home there. And he preaches for them every Tuesday. He's almost 89 years of age. And then I find out that he's still driving. And not only is he still driving, but he goes to and ministers at five different nursing homes around the region. And he came in and I said, when did you start to preach? And he said, when I was in my early 20s, I started to preach. And now I'm almost 89. And he's preaching more now than when at other times, some other times in his life. And so then I said, this is amazing. I felt the power of the Lord on him. And I said, can I pray for you? And I put my hands on him. He started speaking in tongues immediately. And I mean, there was nothing holding him back. And the power of God came. And as soon as he finished, he said, let's sing. And then he started singing. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And he's just the same as his lovely name. And then after one song, we went to another song. And then we went to a third song. And the power of the Holy Spirit was there. And by that time, Teresa said, you know, Pastor Peter came here to pray for my mother. And we need to really do that because I know he can't stay all evening. He says, okay, but before you leave, you have to come next door and pray for the ladies in the next room because they really are in need. And I thought, this man is absolutely amazing. I honor the men of God who for all of their lives are still shining in the purposes of the Lord. I thought of my dad when I saw him there, and I thought, my dad would be doing just what this man is doing if he was here today. He's a powerful preacher of the gospel, and he'd be singing the same songs too. But you have a choice, men of God. You can be men with holy hands, or you can be men who are just average, or even have a secret kind of disdain in your life. Paul said, I wish for something. I wish for men everywhere, whether they're in India or in South America, whether they're in Canada or the United States. I wish for men everywhere that they would lift up holy hands unto God, like special lightning rods that would bring down the electricity of heaven and release the fire of God to change people's lives and release blessings upon their families and their communities. Can you say amen to that? And that's who you're called to be, men of God. From the day you were formed in your mother's womb, there was a special call on your life. You are not just a male. You are not just a man. You're called to be a man of God, anointed and empowered with the Holy Spirit. So Paul says, I wish that men everywhere would lift up holy hands. You know, your hands really are the part of your body that kind of symbolizes your manhood. I remember my father's hands. They were, when I was a boy, I always thought my dad's hands are so big, and I never wanted to feel them on the seat of my understanding. And sometimes I did. And, you know, my dad was old school. He was a good Pentecostal, anointed man of God, and he knew how to bring discipline when needed, and it was needed from time to time. But I remember his big hands. I used to love holding his hands. My hand got lost in his hand, but he would hold them, and there was a sense of love. And you know what the Bible says? It tells us about our eyes and our feet and our hands. In the book of Mark, chapter 9, verse 43 to 47, Mark 9, 43, it says, if your eye offend you, pluck it out. For it's better to enter into life having only one eye than to enter into hell with both. Now, please don't poke out any eyes, cut off any hands or feet, literally. The Lord is speaking symbolically, and he's saying you cannot afford to have two opinions on spiritual things. You see, God is narrow-minded. He really believes he's right. And it's not wrong to be narrow-minded if you're right. And you need to be narrow-minded when it comes to the things of the Lord. So don't have to. The world says you need to look at every possible situation and then kind of mix it all up in some gooey salad. But the Lord says, this is the way, walk ye in it. Men of God, you can only afford to see things for your family and for your own life the way God sees things. And then he says, if your foot offends you, cut it off. It's better to enter into life with only one foot than have two and go to hell. And the feet talk about the places we go and our journey in life. There are some places we should not go. There are some lines that we should draw and say, that is not good for me or my family. I'm not going there. I know as a man that what I do will bring blessings or curses on my children and grandchildren. So I only want to do those things that will bring blessings. I'm not going there. My feet are not going there. And then the scripture says, if your hand offends you, cut it off. Better to have one hand and enter into life than have two and go to hell. And our hands represent our business. They represent our associations, the deep core associations that we have in life, and the business dealings that we have, and who we will tie and be bonded to should be those people who are the joining of the Lord. Men of God, I speak to you today to equip and train you for that which God has for you. See, your hands are so powerful. They can be hands that lift up little children, that serve in the house of the Lord, that embrace a wife. They can be hands that give to the poor and help a neighbor in need. They can be hands that, when lifted, the angels see you worshiping and want to come and join in. They can be hands full of goodness and kindness. Or those hands can be full of criminal activity, perversion, dark things, violence, and evil intentions. Your hands are so strong. I remember seeing a program some time ago on TV where these two athletes in the United States were going around the world to study martial arts. And they went to Korea, Japan, China, and all these places around the world and found the martial arts that was known in that country. And then they trained for 2 weeks with the best martial arts people in that nation. And then they had to fight one of their trainees, and they always lost. But it was interesting to watch. So they went and studied judo and taekwondo and karate. And they went to France, and they did this special thing where they were kickboxing. This was the French kind of martial arts. And then they went to Israel. I was amazed at what happened, what I saw out of Israel. And they said, by far, the best martial arts in all the world is found in the Israelis. It really surprised me. And they said this. They said, because when in all of the other forms of martial arts, a person is attacked, they have to do two moves. They have to defend themselves from the knife that's coming, and then with the other hand, make a move that would injure or harm. So there was always defense and then offense, two moves. But they said this Israeli form of martial arts, they only made one move, and it was both defensive and offensive at the same time. So they would block, and at the same time, they would hit somebody in the throat or something. So they would just go like this, you know. So every move that they trained, it was one move to do both jobs, defense and offense. And I was thinking of this, the power that God has put in your hands, men. And they should be powerful weapons of prayer. You should be able to lay your hands on the sick and see them recover. You should be able to release deliverance to those who are tormented and demonized. Men of God, your hands should be trained for war in the spiritual battle as men, holy men, anointed of the King of Glory, for the King of Glory. I have no doubt that what I'm speaking to you about today is not just good ideas, nor is it just God's intention. It is actually God's mandate. Before he returns again, we will see a powerful church without spot or wrinkle. And men, you will take the leading place. You might say, well, right now, I'm kind of a little just worn out from all the stuff in my life. But God will move on you in the days that are coming with anointing that will take you to a new level in his purposes and in his glory. We know that the laying on of hands is one of the six foundational teachings of Christ. You can read about them in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. It says that we should lay or leave behind these six basic teachings. Not that we forget them or reject them, but that we move on from them. And those six basic teachings of Christ are as follows. There is faith towards God, repentance from dead works, baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. There's the six. And three of them have to do with us coming to Christ. Faith towards God, and repentance from dead works, and baptisms. That's how we get into the kingdom, isn't it? And then the last two deal with what happens after we die. The resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. There's one, only one doctrine mentioned in these six essential doctrines of Christ that has to do with our lives between salvation and death. It's called the laying on of hands. And that means that God wants to use you. He wants to use people. He wants to use the church to lay their hands and to release his blessings. I know that when I put my hands on people to pray for them, that God puts his hands on people to pray for them. That there is anointing that will flow through hands. Men, look at your hands today. Just take a minute and patronize me. Look at your hands. Those hands were meant to serve the living God, to be instruments of God's love and not just his kindness, but also his power. Let the anointing of the Lord move through you. Now the scripture says, who can ascend unto the hill of the Lord? And who can stand in his holy place? But he who has clean hands and a pure heart. And so your hands are important to the Lord. Paul says, I wish that men everywhere would lift up holy hands, not sinful hands. He's not just looking for any hands today. He's looking for hands that have been sanctified, blood washed, anointed by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I wish that men everywhere would lift up holy hands. And then he says two things that are the two things that are the biggest hindrances for men and their Christian walk. He says, without anger and without doubting. Now, you all know that women have their problems. And their problems are different, generally speaking, than the men's problems. There are things that women need to deal with in order to press on into God and find his anointing in their lives. But there's two things that Paul points out to us here that are the big impediment for us men. And one is anger, and the other is doubting. And I want to speak to you about these two things for just a couple more minutes. First of all, I wish that men everywhere would lift up holy hands without anger. Anger. There's two kinds of anger. There's what we call, and men, I'm speaking to you, volcanic, explosive, violent anger. Most nice Christians don't have that problem. There's a lot of people in the world who do. So there's women and children who are abused by angry men. But most Christians are not like that. They know it's really wrong. But they still have an anger inside of them. I call it a frozen anger. It's not volcanic. It just pushes everything down. But there is a frustration and a disappointment and something that is deep inside of them that steals their joy and their happiness. What happens is that when that anger goes down deep inside of somebody, they think they're dealing with it, but actually they start to shut down in parts of their lives. There's a lot of men who do not know how to smile, who do not know how to laugh, who do not know how to communicate their emotions or their feelings or what they really think, because they've put that stuff into behind doors and slammed it shut. And it's because of the frozen anger. And the frozen anger has piled up from when they were little boys, when they were disappointed, when they weren't included on the baseball team, when their sweetheart in high school they found was two-timing on them and they were rejected and it went in like a knife into their hearts, when they failed at one thing or another, when they made a big mistake and they found out, perhaps when a brother or a sister passed away, what seemed to be prematurely, or their mother died or their father died, or they have grown up and been married and have had a divorce, or have had their children look at them and say, I hate you, Dad. I wish I was never born. And all of these things have piled up one on top of the other until there has become this deep-seated frustration and anger in the hearts of many men. And you do well to smile on a Sunday when you shake somebody's hand. But you're not living with all of the anointing that a man of God should live in. Because I wish that men everywhere would lift up holy hands without anger. How do you deal with that stuff, men of God? Because everyone who's lived long enough has some of it there. Well, the Bible tells us how. If you only knew these things on the day of the trauma, you could have dealt with it then when you should have. But now you've got to play catch up. But this is what the scripture says. It says, forgive those who offend you. Bless those who despitefully use you. Pray for those who hurt you. Extend love and kindness to those who wish you evil. There's four things, men, that you have to do to get rid of the anger. And yet it's not a one-time thing. It's a thing that you do every day until your heart gets clearer and clearer and clearer. You forgive those. You cannot afford to go to sleep with anger in your heart or unforgiveness. If somebody hurts you in the morning, you better deal with it before the night. The Lord says, be angry, but don't let the sun go down on your anger. See what happens. If you sleep with anger, it fossilizes. It becomes a part of who you are. So you don't let that happen. I have been hurt many, many times in my life. Some pains took me years to get over. But that day when that person hurt me, before I went to bed, I got on my knees and forgave them with all of my heart. The problem wasn't solved. The pain didn't go away, but I forgave them. And then I started to pray God's blessings over them. This is a recipe for cooking the anti-anger cake. 1 pound of forgiveness. 2 pounds of prayer. 3 ounces of blessings and lots of expressed love and kindness, even to your enemies. Those are the ones where the test really comes to bear, doesn't it? So Paul says, I wish that men everywhere would lift up holy hands without anger and doubting. I'm going to give you 2 scriptures, but not look there because of time. But if you're taking notes, it talks about the anger that piles up inside of people. And you can find it in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3. It says that we are objects of wrath waiting for the day of God's wrath. And then in Romans chapter 2 verse 5 says that men store up anger. They store it up until the day of judgment. Men, you're not a garbage can. You've been a good soldier. You face the wind and being a responsible person, but it's time that you do something for yourself and get rid of the frozen anger inside of you by extending God's forgiveness and love. The second grand impediment for your walk with the Lord is doubting. And men have this kind of mindset that seems to be very analytical, logical, and let me see it first. And they think, I would say, consequentially. I'm speaking in generalities because I know that some men don't. Maybe you're married to one. But many men, and most men, I think like that. And the doubts that can come. And they build up walls and hindrances. So you're not going to stop being a Christian. You're not going to stop coming to church. But deep down inside, when it comes to the moving of the Holy Spirit and prayer and breakthroughs, there's this kind of doubt flag that kind of waves. So you draw back and hesitate. And it's often the women who run down to the front and say, let me prophesy, let me pray. And the men say, yes, honey, do it. Good for you. And it's because, really, there's some honest to goodness doubt deep down inside of a man's heart from all of his disappointments, failures, discouragements that have come along the way. Men of God, I have to deal with this every week. I just came back from Virginia with my wife. We were up there preaching last week. I preached 9 times. And the last message lasted 4.5 hours as I spoke on breaking generational curses. I'm there to open prison doors to set captives free. And it has nothing to do with my feelings. And sometimes I get all a barrage of doubt that will come. And I overcome the doubts in my own mind and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, and serve the Lord is happening today. And Lord, I don't go by my feelings or by circumstances or what I see. I stand on your word and I proclaim it. I proclaim the power and the anointing of God. It's my job to do that. God, it's your job to perform the miracle. I'm going to do my job. And time and again, the power of God comes. Not everybody gets healed, but so many get healed. Not everyone gets delivered, but so many get delivered. Every week we see a miracle. And I call upon you, men of God. I call you up now to be bigger than your own emotions. Bigger than the average mindset in this society. I call you up to be men of heaven, men of the Holy Spirit, men of faith, men who will take a stand and say, yes, Lord, we know your word is true. Come on, men. It's time to take your place. Don't stand behind the skirts. They have their place. But just imagine if we were doing this together in the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit. Just imagine. It might just come as a trickle to start, but it will end up being a river that will change the course of this community. I wish that men everywhere, I really do, would lift up holy hands unto God in prayer, to be a lightning rod, to catch the electricity of heaven. It'll only happen if you deal with anger, frozen anger, and doubting. I want to pray for you now. Would you please stand to your feet? After our worship has started, we'll be over to the side here to lay our hands on any who would like prayer. But man, I know the Holy Spirit's spoken to you today because he spoke to me. And I'm going to ask you now to rededicate your life unto the Lord as a man of God, as a powerful father and a husband who will not be denied, as a soldier in the army of the Lord. Give the Lord everything of your emotions, of your mind, of your heart, and of your body. Would you hold your hands out in front of you and just look at your hands for a minute? And I'm going to ask the women to join in with us because I know they're rooting for us today. But I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer of rededication to the Lord. Would you pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for saving me. Today I rededicate my life to you. To be a powerful man of God. Without anger and without doubt, but to be a lightning rod for the power of heaven to flow through me. Let me serve you and fulfill my calling. I give my life to you and I receive your blessings on my life, on my family, on this church, and this community. I receive it now. In Jesus' name, amen.
If after hearing this message you would like prayer or further information about our ministry, Email Dr. Peter Wins at winsusa@comporium.net. That's WYNSUSA@comporium.net. For additional teaching and other CMM resources, visit our websites at peterwins.org or unexpectedfire.com. Your financial contributions help this ministry continue. Your support is greatly appreciated. For tax receipts, send donations to Christians for Messiah Ministries, P.O. Box 36324, Rock Hill, South Carolina, 29732. We hope that you have enjoyed this powerful teaching by Dr. Peter Wins. We trust that it has taught you in the ways of the Lord, that it has helped to train you to be a better disciple, and that because of this teaching, you will receive more of God's blessings and favor on your life. From all of us here at CMM to all of you who are listening, we extend God's richest blessings.